God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and we're Monday the 6th of August 2018, and I'm starting my garden here and just really been inspired by God through my prayer and desire to move. And God is the one that puts his desires in our heart, and as we respond to them, that desire grows within us. You know, God is the one that has set the vision and direction for our lives, and when we come into seeking God with all of our hearts, then he can put those things in our hearts and lead us by his spirit that he can direct us. He's also given us his word, which also shows us how to live and move and how he worked with believers in the past. We can really get a great understanding from God of how he would have us move. I've been desiring and asking God to enlarge my vision and his direction and how he'd have me move, because I don't want to be doing things in my own strength. I don't want to be doing things in my own ability, but I want to be humble to God. I want to move with God, and I really want to move with those that have the same desire to see the word of God move in my area where I live, in my country, and throughout the whole of the world. And it's available. You know, it starts from house to house. As we see in the book of Acts, they started from house to house, they fellowshipped and they influenced their environments and the areas that they lived in. And from there, people rose up and was moved and led by the Spirit of God. And they went as God put the desires in their heart to go. And that's how we should live and move. You know, we're free. We receive the Spirit of God within us so that we can live and move and have our being. We can be led by God. We can be directed by God. That we're not bound by tradition, or we're not bound by men, but that there's a godly order and way of doing things. And God is the one that opens the door for us as we desire. So if you just think about these things, you know, what's your vision? What's your direction? And what's the direction God's got for you? Because he's got a direction for every single one of us. So God has given us a new life. Okay, and this new life we received when we became born again. And this life should be exciting, and it should be full of hope and expectation and vision. You know, we shouldn't be burdened down all the time, and we shouldn't be facing problem after problem. But if we are in those situations, it's recognizing who we are and the authority we have, and that God is our provider, that he's the source of our supply in every situation. So when we're humble to God and we go to him for the direction, then we will receive his wisdom and his direction and his insight to move forward. God will show us how to move forward as we are still before him, as we go to him, as we desire from him. So when we're walking with God and we're being led by the Spirit of God, then God's desires become ours. His desires literally become ours. And daily going to God and having a willing heart to do what he shows us to do, then God is the one that's going to open up the doors for us, which no man can shut. See, when God opens the doors, no man can shut those doors. No woman can shut those doors. No government, no religious organization, nothing can shut those doors, because it's what God has opened. And he provides all the necessary things that we need so that we can move. And the desire in our heart is to see God's word move all over the world. This is God's desire, okay? And this desire that he puts is a strong desire in our hearts, which comes from him. It doesn't come from somebody else's great ideas, but it comes from God. And that's the desires you want. God's desire is his word to impact the whole world. Although we move and live in our local areas, like I just said, the vision of God is much bigger, and God has great plans for those that want to move with him and do the things his way. See, it's not about doing things our way, or our great ideas, or our organizational skills, or our ability, but it's God's way, and God's way is the easiest way. There's nothing hard when it comes from God. There's no strain or struggling, and we don't have to sit worrying, why aren't the things happening for me? Because the truth is, the things are happening for you, and when you line up with God, then you'll see that he opens those doors for you. It's not an effort from you, it's what God does. And because we're resting in him, we're trusting him, we're seeking his way and his desire, and God wants us to see beyond where we are through the eyes of faith, right? It's by faith we receive the things from God and what God wants us to manifest in our lives. So I want to take a look at some scriptures. These are just things that God's been working in my heart, and I've written some scriptures down here for us to look at. For those that really want to move, you know, listen to what I'm sharing with you. Allow God to inspire your heart as I speak. Because God is at work. He's at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The only time we don't hear the voice of God is when we're allowing the things of this world to crowd our mind, the worries, the fears, the lacks. But when we go to God, when we seek him first, he takes care of those things so that we can focus on him. And when we just trust in him, we trust his word to us that what God says he's going to do, he's going to do. In Romans 1:17 it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." See, it's from faith to faith that the righteousness, God's way, is revealed to us. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We don't live by our senses. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We don't allow the circumstances to dictate to us, to hold us back. Situations might say, you know, you haven't got the resources, you haven't got the open doors. You know, we look at that, and that can keep our faith low. But when we look to God, and we see the heavenly vision, what God wants us to do, then the great things are going to happen. Then he goes to work. He honors that faith, because we're not seeking our own will, but we're seeking his will, his way. And God really does open the doors. You know, we live by faith. We don't live by education, but we live by faith. The trusting in God. He wants you to trust in him with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, not to rely on your own abilities, your own effort, but go to him, then let him direct you to the scriptures. Let him direct you in your actions and your application of what he's showing you to do. See, God has set the vision, and we see God's vision as already done. Okay, we speak it like it's already done. We call those things not as though they were, like God called Abraham the father of many nations, even though he had no baby on the way or anything happened. God already seen it as done. And so, if your desire is to see the word move throughout all the world, then you see it as done. If your desire is for open doors, see it as done. Because God has put that desire in there. Anything that you want to do for God that's great and is going to bring glory to God and it's going to build up the body of Christ, it's already done. And we have to see it that way, or we can see it with our carnal mind, our natural man. And the natural man looks at the things and the senses. But the spiritual man, the ones with the mind of Christ, looks to the things of God. They don't allow the senses to dictate. God has given us vision, and he's also given us an expectation, which is a goal to aim at and a purpose. So what is your vision? Have you taken your desires to God? Like, you tell God your desires. He's already put them in there. Now you tell them to God. Father, this is what I want to do. I want to move your word through all the area where I live, through the country where I live, into other nations. We got to see the word beyond where we live. And we got to see ourselves moving with God, declaring the word, having a vision, having a picture in mind. And God puts his image in your mind. He's given us a vision with his word. He's shown us what his desire is. With God's vision comes his direction and guidance. God's vision will not be accomplished through our own effort or ability, but by following his prompting, his leading, his direction. Our vision and desire should be to see God's word move from our own locations, reaching out throughout the whole world, and it's available. And God gives us the wisdom to see these things happen. It is as we're led by his spirit, following his direction, we will see these things happen. What's your greatest desire? God is the one that does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't allow anyone to stop you moving with God. The God-given desires in your heart is given to you by God. And as you respond to God and say yes to God, I'm well able to do this. Like the children of Israel, they looked at the promised land, they spied it out, and the majority of them said, we can't take this. You know, but Joshua and Caleb said, we can take it. Because they knew God was with them. They knew with God all things were possible. If your desire is to, I don't know, have thousands of fellowships, then go for it. God will make it happen. You can't make it happen, but it's as you do what God shows you, he can make it happen. And we want to encourage people to connect with God, to really go to him. Each individual go into God because they're filled with the Spirit of God. They're children of the Most High God. And God can work in each of us to move powerfully. So we just need to encourage one another, really build one another up. And the criticisms, the arguing, the falling outs, the divisions and the schisms, these things hinder the purposes of God in your life. So you want to avoid it at all costs. You want to walk with all meekness and humbleness, lowliness of mind. Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation, right? He was humble to the Father, and he did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. And we can do the same things. We're sons of God. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You're heirs with God. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And God has set the vision. This is what God said to Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that read of it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So we're to write that vision down in your heart, in your mind, and then declare that vision, make it known, speak it forth, and then those that hear it, that have the Spirit of God, will know it's from God, and they'll run with it as well. God has his vision written down so that those that see it can run to do it. It's in his word. The blueprint of the outreach and movement of the word in the first century is written down. It's like a blueprint for us, so to speak. See, the proud in heart, those with their own ideas of how God's word should move, won't see it and move. It is as we're humble and meek and follow God's direction and leading. It is also having a willing heart to do what God wants us to do. You need to be willing to lay aside your own effort and follow God's direction. But we've been so schooled to follow methods. Right, but the only method we want is God's method. And God's method says that we are to be led by his Spirit, that we're to be meek and humble, and we're to do what he wants us to do. And that we have the word of God is in our mouth, it's in our heart, and we say what God says. We don't say what we see. So what's God's heart? In 1 Timothy 2:1, and it says in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication and prayers, intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. This is God's heart. This is God's wisdom, that he wants us to pray. And we pray to God for all men. We give thanks for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God accepts this. He wants us to do this. Who, God, will have all men to be saved and come on to a knowledge of the truth. See, God wants all men to be saved. Not just some, but all men. That's his desire. And to come to a knowledge of the truth. What he's saying. His direction for life and living. The truth of what God has done for them through Christ. He wants them to know what Christ has accomplished. And the truth of who they are now in Christ. The truth of who they are as believers, standing with God, and the authority they have now. And that they have been given the ministry of reconciliations to reconcile others back to God. That they are a new creation in Christ, saved by God's wonderful grace. God wants people to know the truth. And the truth is that we've been called to the obedience of the faith, to live our lives before God. We no longer live unto ourselves, but we live unto him. And we're willing to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Why? Because of his wonderful grace, his wonderful favor that we didn't earn our salvation, but it was accomplished for us through Jesus Christ. And it's through faith on him, Jesus Christ, and believing on him and making him Lord and confessing him with your mouth that you received the Spirit of God, eternal life. You didn't work for it. You couldn't earn it. It was impossible. That's why Jesus Christ had to do it. And we receive it by faith like we receive everything else by faith. So it's by grace, God's favor, we are saved, and we're empowered to do the works that Jesus Christ done and greater. See, our work is to bring people from darkness to light through the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. What else does God say? We see there that we're to pray for all men. And God wants us also to pray for laborers. We see this, Jesus Christ, great example, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel, good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. See, people are fainting today. They got no one to lead them, no one to direct them. But you can do it if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you pray for the laborers, right? And then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The workers, the leaders, they're few. Okay, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So there we see we're to pray for laborers. We put our desire to God. Father, send me that one person that will receive this message, that will respond and do and run and be led by your spirit and will move with us in this harvest to gather your souls and to win people, bring them back from darkness to light. So we're to pray for all men. We're to pray for laborers. We're to pray for those in authority so that we got the freedom to live and move and have our being without hindrance. And God makes a way for us when there is no way also. So God will take care of the things that we need. And Jesus Christ set the vision and direction before his ascension. Not only did he show and lead by example to his disciples and taught them and fed them and spent time with them and done the work before them and then got them to do the work. He allowed his leaders to rise up by giving them the work. It's not about one minister doing the work in one area. A leader is to rise other people up to do the work, those that desire, those that want to move. Jesus Christ done this. He worked with those 12. He encouraged them. He showed them by example. He served them. He was a blessing to them. He encouraged them. He directed them to God and to believe God and to have faith in God. And this is what he said in Mark 16:15. We read it. And Jesus Christ sets them the vision and direction. You know, and if we're going to move, we need vision. We need direction. And when God gives the vision of what needs to be done, he also gives the know-how of how to do it, and that gives us our direction. And the direction comes as we're led by the Spirit of God. Mark 16:15 says, and he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature or creation. See, this gospel is good news. It's not bad news we're delivering to people. It's good news. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. See, there should be signs following us. If we're believing God and we're doing the things that he's showing, then there should be signs. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpent, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand side of God. See, Jesus Christ left the instructions, and then he sat at the right hand side of God. And it says, and they sat about studying the word, just fellowshipping with one another, and just meeting with each other week in, week out, month in, month out, and they really didn't go anywhere. No, it doesn't say that. In verse 20 it says, and they went forth. They moved. They moved at the direction. And they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. See, God's working with them. It's not that they're doing the things on their own. It's not that you're doing the things on your own. It's as you go, as you speak, that God is activated to move and help, confirming the word with signs following. See, God will confirm the words that you speak from him, as he's working in you with signs, miracles and wonders, with healings, with deliverance, with people being set free. Acts 1:8, again, we read this. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. All disciples were led by the Spirit of God, because Jesus said, you wait for the Holy Ghost, you wait for the Holy Spirit, you shall receive, you're going to manifest power, and that's what equips you to do the work. It's not that you've got to do it in your strength, your energy, your effort, but it's as the Spirit of God is working in you, as you are responding to God, as you are humble and meek, to do what God leads you and shows you to do. Paul was led by the Spirit of God, but he could have used his own knowledge, being an old Pharisee of the Pharisees, but he demonstrated the power of God being led by the Spirit of God. So it's not in our own wisdom, our own knowledge, what we know about the scriptures, what we may have learnt in churches, but it's as God works in you. Romans 15:19 says this, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem around about unto Iconium I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So Paul, through mighty signs and wonders, why? Because he believed, and God was confirming the word with him by the power of the Spirit of God. God was working in him, energizing him, and God is going to work in you and energize you as you go, right? As you move, as you declare, as you preach, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So Paul was led by the Spirit of God, and he encouraged this in his epistle, Romans 8:14, where it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right, so how did the Son of God, Jesus Christ, walk before God? He was led by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ did nothing in his own effort or his own ability. Let's have a look. Luke chapter 4, we'll see. See, I know a lot of you may know these things already, but it's good to remind and to have a refresher in your mind. God wants you to have a vision and direction. Have you got a vision and direction with your fellowship? Are you working with individuals, rising them up to move in the power of God? Luke 4, verses 18 and 19 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, Jesus Christ, he was led of the Spirit of God. When he went into the wilderness, he was led up of the Spirit of God. He didn't just decide to go into the wilderness. He didn't just decide to go to the temple here and read from Luke 4:18. God was working in him. And then he just declared, this scripture today is fulfilled in your ears. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because Jesus couldn't do it on his own. He needed God working in him, God leading him, God guiding him. He was humble, he was meek to do the Father's will. Luke 2:49 we see, and he, Jesus, said unto them, his parents, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business? He's saying that, didn't you know? You come looking for me, worrying about where I am, but didn't you know I should be about my Father's business? Jesus Christ, even from an early age, was about his Father's business. And that's what we're all to be. We're all to be about the Father's business. John, let's have a look at John chapter 8. In verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. See, Jesus didn't do his own thing, guys. And if he didn't do his own thing, then who are we to do our own thing? But we are to know what God's word says to us. We understand how God works, that he's given us his Spirit, and that he works in us by his Spirit, and that we can see how he worked with Peter, with Paul, with the other disciples. We can see how he moved in the Old Testament by his Spirit. Things were done by the Spirit of God, and as men that had the Spirit of God upon them in the Old Testament responded and were obedient to God, then God was able to accomplish his work. And it's the same when we do that with God. Now, we're fellow laborers together with God. We work together with God. God is working with us, and God is the one leading us. John 12:49, we'll see some more records. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus didn't even say what he thought, but he allowed God to give him the words. Verse 50, and I know that this commandment is life everlasting, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so speak I. So God has given us all things that has pertained unto life and godliness, and it's through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, and God has empowered us with the gift of Holy Spirit so he can lead us and guide us of where to go, who to declare his word to, who to demonstrate his power with signs, miracles and wonders, and follow us as we're obedient to do what he shows. So it's as we preach the gospel of Christ, that's the power of God. God has given us his vision and his direction so we can live and move and have our being in him. All we have to do is decide to move with God and follow his direction. See, it's as we make God's desire our desire and follow his direction, we can build the same vision into those that want to move with God, seeing the word of God move all over the world. It's each one reach one. And as each one responds to God, as each one move and is led by God, then the word's going to move. We shouldn't hinder people by telling them they got to do this and do that. But we feed them the word of God and allow them to move, allow them to grow. And we encourage God's people. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, and this word vision is revelation, where there is no revelation, revelation of what? God's wisdom, God's understanding, right? The people perish. Nothing grows. You've got to have a vision. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So those that keep the word from God and what God is showing, then we're going to be blessed in what we're doing because we're going to see fruit, we're going to see growth, we're going to see God's mighty works. And God has given us his vision and direction, and that is his word, is to move all over the world, reaching those that are in darkness so that they can come to light. Jesus Christ set the vision and direction to his leaders, and we see that in Acts 1 that I just read, Acts 1:8. Those same leaders gave and set the vision for the early church, and the word of God moved swiftly as each believer was led by the Spirit of God. So we see in the book of Acts the outreach of God's word, and it's like a blueprint, so to speak, for us. And we see the rise and we see the outreach of God's word and the expansion and how the word began to move. In Romans 10:17 it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So these guys, they went and they spoke, they declared God, they spoke about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension, his coming back, and people believed. So as we preach God's word, people can have the opportunity to believe like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. After being empowered with the gift of Holy Spirit, he stood up and he spoke. And in Acts 2:41 we can read the outcome of him declaring the word that God put in his heart to speak on the day of Pentecost. And the outcome of that was, we read from Acts 2:41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued, those that received the word continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, what God was working in their hearts to declare to them, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear, reverence, respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. So these wonderful people that received the word that Peter declared were being built up, were being encouraged through the doctrine of the apostles, the gift ministers in the church. At that time, they were declaring the things of God to them, and so faith came and many wonders and signs were done. People got healed, deliverance, and many signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. And they continually and daily with one accord in the temple, breaking the bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, so it's as we preach, as we declare, that the Lord adds to the church daily. See, we do the speaking, God does the adding. In Acts 3, we can see how God added about 5,000 people to the church through the healing of the lame man and the preaching of the word of God by Simon in Solomon's porch. If you read Acts 3, verses 1 to 26, and Acts 4, verses 1 to 4, you can see that account that as Peter and John were being led by God, and they were going to the temple to pray, and they weren't looking to heal people, they were looking to go to the temple and pray, but on their way, God showed them a man that had faith to be healed, and they healed him, and through that, about 5,000 people got added to the believers, which was absolutely wonderful. And so the growth of the church was rapid. And it can be rapid in our areas if we're led by the Spirit of God, if we're preaching the word, if we're ministering, if we're witnessing. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So we know that Saul, the Apostle Paul, before he became born again, he was known as Saul. He went everywhere, casting the believers into prison and going into home fellowships and getting men and women of any age and getting them arrested. And he was causing havoc in the church. Acts 8:4 it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people were with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." See, if you want great joy in that city, get preaching the word. Move as God shows you. Declare the word. We got to be bold. We got to be fearless. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. He's working in us. He's energizing us as we believe, as we desire. And as we speak, as we declare, then God opens great doors for us, and people get healed, people get delivered, and people get born again, and the word grows and multiplies. So even when the pressure was on, those that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word. But today you get a bit of pressure and everyone stops. Everyone goes behind closed doors for fear of whatever it is. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but we have got freedom and we got liberty, and we move in the power of the Spirit of God, being led by him. And when we decide that we're going to be led by God, then great things are going to happen. Philip was led by God, and we see this as we continue to read in Acts 8 verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." So there you see, there was specific direction, and when he followed that specific direction, then we're going to see the results of what happened. Verse 27, "And he," Philip, he was obedient, "arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of God, said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So Philip, explained what he was reading and helped him to understand. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. Didn't say he opened the Bible. He said he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And that's who we preach. We preach Christ. We preach him and what he's accomplished for us today. What God by Jesus Christ has given us. And as we move by the Spirit of God, then great things are going to happen. And we can't do it by methods and training methods. We just move with God. We live our lives this way, daily. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Atosus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities that he came to in Caesarea. See, Philip was on the move. He wasn't just stopping at that one thing. You know, when we see one great miracle, we don't sit around for the next 10 years waiting for the next great miracle. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow them believe. We need to expect God for greater things, guys. We need to be willing to move with God. We need to be willing to be led by God. We need to understand what God's word says, and we can see how he works in the pattern of his word. But it's as we move, it's as we're led by God, and as we put our desires to God and are willing to do what he wants, then he'll open up the doors for us. He'll open up doors that no man can shut. And we need to set a vision for the people that we're working with. We need to give this vision to people that they desire to God, that they desire to see great works in their life. And as we do that, then God's going to go to work in a mighty way. So these are just some of the things I wanted to share. Sorry about some of the background noise, but I am sat in the garden. And I just inspired to sit here. And Kim's cooking my tea now, and I got four dogs at my feet. And so they were my audience, and they're all asleep. Anyway, so I pray you're not, and I pray that you get blessed and you get inspired and you have a great week. So God bless you.